That section from John chapter 13, which we heard just a moment ago, has a very obvious lesson for us, and one which Jesus himself points to. It's an illustration of his servanthood. And in many places throughout the scriptures, Jesus' coming, his ministry, his death, and his resurrection are presented as the role of a servant. He humbled himself and took on the role of a servant even unto death. He did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he lowered himself, taking that form of a servant. And he did it just at the right time, and he did it to cleanse us from our sins. And in a very vivid way, he demonstrates that for his disciples. He shows them that he is not above washing their feet, lowering himself to the lowest role of a servant in the household and washing their feet. And a very obvious lesson from that, as has been demonstrated throughout the entire ministry of Jesus, is that they also ought to be servants, and they ought to wash one another's feet, so to speak. But as our Lord is so good at, he doesn't just take that opportunity to teach servanthood. But while he is in the midst of washing their feet and drying them with the towel around him, he teaches them an even more important lesson, a lesson that must be learned before we can even consider being a servant. And he does it with that head disciple, Peter, again. Peter with his great confessions, Peter with his great denial, Peter, always the one who speaks out, and Jesus uses his words to teach. As Jesus is going about, washing the disciples' feet, one by one, he comes to Peter. And the conversation then that transpires with Peter is recorded in John chapter 13, beginning with verse 8. Notice again what takes place. Peter said to Jesus, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part in me." Simon Peter then said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." But Jesus said to him, "He who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but he is clean all over, and you are clean." What a wonderful thought, to think about the cleansing power of Jesus' blood. We just sang about that. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. But I think it's important to note how personal Jesus is here, how personal words like that hymn really are. Certainly, Jesus' blood cleanses from all sin. At the very outset of his ministry, John the Baptist points to Jesus and says, "Behold the Lamb of God," signifying sacrifice, signifying the shedding of blood. "Behold the Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world." That fountain filled with blood comes from Emmanuel's veins, but only the sinners that are plunged beneath it receive the cleansing which it offers. We have a tendency in the world in which we live, and I think it's a tendency also of us as Christians, to stand on the sidelines and watch things happen. We are spectators in many, many ways. Jesus tells Peter that it's impossible to be a spectator when it comes to his cleansing. He tells us that very same thing this morning. We cannot just stand around and watch his cleansing be done, but we must also be cleansed. We must also be thrust beneath that cleansing flood. Suppose that we could use the illustration of a washing machine. And if in that washing machine there were all kinds of clothing items, and the water, as the cycle continued, became very dirty, it would be hard to tell where all the dirt came from. You couldn't tell if it came from one piece or from another. Suppose that we fit into that illustration. And we are all participants in the cleansing flood generally. And we stand here this morning in a very real sense coming to the cleansing flood, being assured again, cleansed again of all of our sins in the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. But it's easy for us to sit out there in a group and look at all the dirt that's being washed away and begin to think of ourselves almost out of the picture. The dirt didn't come from me, it came from somebody else. The dirt really can be transferred to another person. The dirt of sin can really be pointed in another person. And we can step out on the sideline and watch the cleansing, watch Jesus washing, but never really be washed ourselves. But suppose that there was only one sock in that washing machine, and the water still got dirty. Then we would know the source of every bit of that dirt. Suppose we are the only ones coming to the cleansing of Jesus Christ. We can't step aside and point the dirt of sin to someone else. We can't step aside and watch and observe his cleansing power being administered throughout the group. Then we must see our sin as we confess privately in our hearts. We must see the dirt that stains us and receive personally the cleansing of Jesus' blood. Isn't that exactly what he was saying to Peter? If I don't wash your feet, you have no part in me. Peter was not permitted to sit there and watch him wash the other 11 disciples' feet and skip him. Because only when we are personally cleansed with the blood of Jesus Christ, when we personally see our stain and our dirt and our guilt and let that cleansing flood wash it away, can we have a part in him. We have to be personally washed, personally cleansed. It's not being a spectator sport. It's not being lost in the oblivion of a group. We come to Jesus individually. He comes to us and cleanses us of all our sins. The cleansing power of Jesus' blood that he cared enough about to give his life into death to accomplish. The cleansing power of Jesus' blood, which gives us the pure robe of God's rightness, so that we can stand before God on the day of judgment. And God will not see our sins, but rather see them covered with the blood of Jesus Christ. The scripture, many times, and I guess very obvious speaking to a group like this, is hard to carry over into the English. Because we use the same word, you, for the singular and the plural. And we can't catch that little difference many times throughout Scripture, which is very singular and very individual. Jesus is specifically talking to Peter. If I do not wash you, one, individual, you, individual, have no part in me. And the same thing is true of our cleansing here this morning. Of the assurance that God in Christ has forgiven all of our sins. Of the assurance again that those individual stains that have cropped up into our lives are washed away as we partake of Christ's body and blood. But it's individual. It's you. It's personal. Jesus is a personal Savior who shed his blood on Calvary's cross, became the source of the floods of washing for each of us individually. May you personally be assured of your cleansing here this morning. May you personally be approaching God's table, and may you personally be touched through the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ with the cleansing flood of Calvary's mountain. It's very personal. And we have to see ourselves in the picture as sinners, yet saints, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. May that be our sharing here this morning. May we take that word of Jesus to our own hearts personally, and may we see with new life and vigor Jesus raised up, drawing us, not just all men, but drawing us unto himself. Let us pray.